It's a football Friday. It's an FR Friday. Oh, yeah, it's a Cavs home opener Friday. So we get not just the Cavs regular season home opener, we also get the dreaded J.B. Bickerstaff revenge game, which would be more impactful if the Detroit Pistons weren't stink on crap. And I mean, listen, they're NBA players. So there is the credible threat anytime you suit up in an NBA game that you can lose this game. The Cavs' job is, quite frankly, to not screw up tonight. So we have more on this game. When Spencer drops by, we're going to talk about Darius Garland tonight. We're going to talk about Evan Mobley, his impact, sustaining the momentum. We got plenty on the Cavs in today's show. But obviously, as it's a football Friday, we start actually with the Friday injury report brought to you by Slater and Zurs. Experience you need, results you want. Visit SlaterZurs.com to get your free consultation. Wyatt Teller, questionable for Sunday's game. Jerome Ford, Ronnie Hickman, Jordan Hicks, and Jed Wills are out. And all with various injuries, of course. The Friday Injury Report brought to you by Slater and Zurs. Experience you need, results you want. Visit SlaterZurs.com to get your free consultation. But we weren't going to start with Jed Wills, but I realized something, because this week we've had a lot of conversations about Kevin Stefanski. And in fairness, if you've listened to this week or you've listened to the show the last 7 weeks, you might think I'm overly weighting the blame for this disaster, this albatross, this Led Zeppelin, not the band, but like an actual airship made of lead, going down the way that it has. You might think that disproportionately I blame Kevin Stefanski. And the truth is, I don't. We just have not had the point to have the Andrew Berry conversation. But Jed Wills being out, and the timing of this, where this is happening, he has played the last couple weeks, he has played poorly. There was the latest video of him letting a defensive player, and an elite one in Trey Hendrickson, unabated to the quarterback. And then looking at everybody else and putting his hands to his side like, why didn't you guys get that guy? What happened? I refuse to believe that Jed Wills is simply injured. I tend to believe, call it conspiratorial mindset, call it whatever you want. There's a part of me that just refuses to believe that this isn't part of more changes for a completely dysfunctional, completely lost and rudderless 1-6 Browns team. And I'll be honest with you, if they are leaving it up to injury on Jed Wills, that's more problematic than if they're holding him out and that this is a pseudo-benching, a quiet benching, right? Quiet quitting was all the rage there for a minute. I'd like to think of this as a quiet benching, because if they're okay with guys playing and not playing very hard, well, that's probably how you get to 1-6. Hey, it's Spencer German. What's up, buddy?
I'm good. How are you, Nick?
I'm spinning conspiracy theories about Jed Wills. How are you feeling about that?
So what's interesting about it is it's not like this would be the first time you've seen something like this before, right? Like this happens all the time in baseball. Guys, they start sort of not performing up to par, and they just kind of fudge the books a little bit. They write in that they might have a little bit of an injury, and then they spend a couple of weeks on the IL. I think that's kind of what happened with, like, Tristan McKenzie this year. It was like, oh, yeah, the elbow's still bothering him, so let's just say he's on the IL, and then he can go down to the minors and figure something out. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure it happens in football more than we think. But in theory, like, you probably could blame some of this on the knee injury, because he just hasn't looked – I mean – it's hard to say he hasn't looked the same, because the same.
Wildly mediocre this year.
The player that he was before this injury was still not very good either. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if this is kind of the way that they go about sort of putting him into the background, and it certainly is a sign, if that's the case, that they're not going to bring him back next year. But you might as well try something else, because to your point, like, I thought Joe was as bad as he's been since he's been here, since he got drafted on Sunday. I mean, that play you mentioned where he just, like, let Trey Hendrickson right by him.
Yeah.
And we've seen some of those before, but at least we've seen him where then it's like he tries to get back into the play.
Yep.
That was just like, sorry about that, Deshaun. Didn't mean to let – it was bad. It was like one of the worst performances we've seen from Jed.
And Jed, to me, is so much of what frustrates me about the Browns, because – I don't want to sound like I'm the guy that's running down the statistical side of, or the measurable side of grading player performances. But like, if you look at it, there was the ultimate football player in Tristan Wirfs, who was a prodigious high school wrestler,
yeah,
who was annihilating machine at Iowa. And the knock was, well, worst case scenario, he might end up being a right tackle instead of a left tackle. And in fairness, it took the Bucks, I think, 4 years to or 3 years to move Tristan over to the left side. But, like, Tristan didn't have left tackle measurements in terms of the what people tend to think of. And so you go Jed Wills, who has all the measurements and none of the actual heart. And, like, I don't think they have enough football players. Meaning, well, let me put it this way. All the real football players on this team are guys that were drafted by John Dorsey or Sashi Brown.
Yeah.
That, like, that's and so, well, Jed, and that's Jed, why Jed is like the typical, like, this is a dude who has all the talent in the world, but if you don't love the game, this is who you're going to be. And then playing him every week is just pure stubbornness.
Yeah, and you bring it's funny you bring that up, because I think one of the things as we talk about the future of Andrew Berry that you can point to is, yes, he's retained the guys that are the core guys. But if you really think about where those core guys came from, they're John Dorsey era guys. We're talking about Miles. We're talking about, which I guess was pre-Dorsey technically, but Miles, Denzel, Nick Chubb, like, these are the players that were here prior to Andrew Berry. And so, like, I understand that he's been pretty savvy when it comes to trades, and he's pulled off some sort of shockers, if you will. But, like, in terms of, like, player retention, like, it's not easy, or it's not hard to give contracts to the guys that are good. Like, that's, yeah, that's been one of the premier parts of his job. But the talent acquisition through the draft has been a problem and has been a question that we're all asking. And Jed was the first-round pick he had. He's only had two, but he was the first-round pick that he had. And we see how that's kind of gone at this point. So, yeah, I mean, it's a problem. And, to like, you bring up kind of going back and looking at the tape on him and Wirfs at the time. And this is something that people bring up to me, is like, well, hey, he played for Nick Saban, so how can he not be like this tough guy? And it's a fair question, but I also just think, like, part of that is part of the equation there with him is probably that when you're in college, you can get away with sometimes being a little more lazier when you're just physically more gifted than the guy that you're going up against. And mm-hmm. as we know, Nick Saban was always recruiting the most physically gifted players around the country. So I think he probably got away with more in college. And in the NFL level, he gets exposed every single week for those things.
Yeah, and I just think, like, continuing to come back to the point of, I think Jed, and like, because I think people give Andrew Berry a pass. Oh, he's only had two first-rounders. Well, that does go out the window when one of them is a top 10 pick, and neither of them are guys that are going to be here beyond the next year and a half.
Yeah.
Like, this is clearly Jed's last voyage with the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, he's not getting an
extension. And I'll be honest with you, I actually think Greg Newsom does have some trade value here going into the break, like, or going into the trade deadline. Like, Bill Barnwell pointed out, like, Arizona needs a corner who can function as somebody who can play all three roles as the top three corners,
yeah,
while also, you know, actually just being a passably good corner. Like, that's a scenario that I think, but so now I'm getting ahead of myself. But my point is, like, you come back to, where are the football players that Andrew Berry has drafted? Because the one guy I can really think of is JOK. That's the,
yeah.
And honestly, MJ Emerson is another guy with the right attitude. I just don't know what the hell's happened to him. Those are the two guys, yeah, and one of them is having the worst season in the pros.
And I've maintained, even through his struggles this year, that I think MJ's kind of the future Denzel in a way. Like, they'll pay him once Denzel gets a little older, and maybe he has one too many concussions for their liking, and they can get out from his contract, or maybe the contract expires. Like, they'll pay MJ, and he'll kind of be that future cornerstone player in the secondary. And, you know, like, I think this year he's having some struggles, but, you know, year to year, sometimes those things change, and hopefully he can learn from this one and bounce back and be that lockdown corner. But those are probably the two that come to mind. We know his history with wide receivers. The one that he turned – the one, like, I guess, pick that was a wide receiver that turned into any sort of, I guess, valuable type of player for them was obviously Donovan Peoples-Jones, and he was a sixth-round pick. So you weren't really expecting much. So it was, and that's the thing. Like, the fact that he became a guy that was like, oh, he can go for like 800 yards in a season. Like, that was cool for a 6th round pick. But like, the fact that they have missed on so many of these guys, and they've only been able to find those reliable wideouts through trades, is an indictment on Andrew. It really is.
Well, and here's the other thing to bring it back to where the Browns are. With, you know, Jed out for Sunday and DeJuan Jones apparently is going to, you know, slide over there and they're going to finally give him a crack at that. I just don't understand how, like, players sometimes give – everybody in life sometimes just gives you easy wins, layups. And benching Jed should have happened, like, 3 weeks ago. And all due respect to a guy, because, again, I don't know Jed. You know, like, I don't think he's a bad dude. I just don't think he loves football. And, like, Jason Lloyd and I got into this yesterday because he's like, well, they don't have anybody better. And I'm like, better is subjective. Are we talking about better as talent? Or are we talking about somebody who played through the whistle? Because I'll take a C-minus talent through the whistle versus a A talent who plays for a second and a half.
Didn't you and I have that debate a couple weeks ago? Didn't we ask, would you rather have James Hudson, who you know is not as talented as Jed Wills, but you know he's going to play hard? Or Jed Wills, who is more talented, but he doesn't get the most out of that talent. I swear I thought I was with you on Afternoon Drive when I asked that question.
You could have, but it's
a lot's happened since then.
That was 2 weeks ago. And in Brown speak, this is like 3 years of our lives that have just aged off us. So Jed Wills is out for Sunday. And I just think the start of this conversation is, do you guys expect the offense to look better? New left tackle, new quarterback, new play caller. Are you expecting better on Sunday from the Browns offense?